Well, hello, America. It's Coach Pete. This week on the Financial Safari, we're going to talk about some complex planning strategies that you may be overlooking. Heck, you may never even heard of them. And this is important to find out all the information about wealth building and tax sheltering, along with income planning and retirement planning. We're going to cover all that and much more this week on the Financial Safari. Hi, this is Coach Pete, and if you've got questions on how to properly structure your assets and build retirement income, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Financial Safari.
Broadcasting from coast to coast, it's the Financial Safari with your host, Coach Pete DeRuda. Coach Pete and his guests are some of the nation's top financial professionals. They make it their mission to guide investors through the treacherous jungle of the financial world, showing them how to grow, keep, and leave their money for their loved ones. Coach Pete is a frequent contributor to Fox Business Network, CNBC, The Wall Street Journal, and many other news outlets. They come to Coach Pete for their answers, and now so can you. So stick around and find out how to make it through the jungle of the financial world on The Financial Safari.
Welcome into the Financial Safari. Consumer advocate Thomas Lipscomb here with you alongside retirement and insurance planner Greg Berrien. Also in studio with us is best-selling author Coach Pete DeRuda. Guys, welcome in.
Hey, Thomas. Hey, Coach.
Good to be here as always.
Always. Going to be a fun day here on the show. Looks like we have a special guest coming up later in the program. Who do we got here with us coming up?
We're going to have Mr. Ed Shore coming in, who is from the Wealth Training Academy, and he'll be here in segment two and three. I think he's got time for a couple segments.
That's going to be great. Yeah. I look forward to it. Now, what are you talking about here, though? In the tease, you were saying complex planning when it comes to retirement. I know in my life, I want to take all the complex stuff and at least try to simplify it as much as possible.
Well, this is mainly, it also can be for folks that are retired and have been working for a company. But if you have your own company, you know what I'm talking about. If you have your own company, it seems like everything you do, everyone's out to get you, including the tax man. And so we do something called enterprise risk management, looking at everything that's involved in your portfolio and seeing if there are ways to structure your money in a way, taking advantage, by the way, of the tax code as it exists. But there are a lot of overlooked tax sheltering strategies out there. Some simple trusts, some more complex trusts, even setting up your own captive insurance company, CIC it's called. We're not going to get into that today, but there are a lot of different ways to manage your risk. And I'm not talking about stocks, bonds, mutual fund kind of risk. I'm talking about risk of you having your money when you need it the most and keep playing that game of keep away from Uncle Sam on the state.
It makes a lot of sense. It reminds me, I took a trip out to California a while back, and you go to In-N-Out, I believe it's In-N-Out Burger, and you have the menu of the hamburgers and the cheeseburgers, but then you've got the unspoken off menu, the hidden
animal
menu.
Style.
There you go. Exactly. It sounds a little bit like what you're talking about here. We're not necessarily talking about the stock, the bond, the typical thing, but there are other things that are quote unquote on but off the menu that we could be looking at.
Well, we don't recommend going to a burger joint to get these either, by the way. So very, very important. So it's just a way to manage the money we have to make sure we keep what we're entitled to. Greg, we see way too many people who just go through the year and about April 15th, they send in the money that they owe Uncle Sam. And little do they realize, many times you're sending in way too much money, but no one's going to tell you you're sending too much. And they'll tell you if you don't send enough, won't they?
I don't think Uncle Sam's going to send you a mistake check back anytime soon, Coach.
Still waiting for that check in the mail. But it's just taking advantage of what's out there and understanding the money world. Now, we've got a chart here where it shows you if you lose a certain amount, how much you have to gain just to get back to even. Hmm. Well, if we lose a lot of taxes that we didn't have to pay, we'll never get back to even. Because when you pay extra taxes or pay extra fees, again, financial termites, we call that, tax, fees, commissions, things you don't need to be paying, that minute you pay it, Greg, is it still in your account?
I don't think so. I think that's gone forever, Coach.
Yeah. Of course, it's gone.
Absolutely.
And so if it had been in your account, wouldn't you have earned interest on it?
You're getting those triple compounding gains.
Next year, your interest would have earned interest, and et cetera. So now that it's not there anymore, Thomas, so it's not just the money you lose today. It's tomorrow money we lose that hurts the most.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's very interesting. And all the more that you need to look at this if you're a small business owner as well. I think of my own self having to optimize my taxes as much as possible just with a family, all the more if you have your own business.
Yeah. So let's say you now in just the market in general, let's say you lost 40% in your market account, which is possible. It's happened before.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
How much do you have to gain the next year or over the next set of years just to get back to where you were before you lost the money in the market. So you lost 40%. Thomas, want to guess what would you have to gain back to break even? Not to go ahead, but just to get back to where you were before you lost the money.
Okay, so I'm going to try to be smart and think on things that we've talked about in the past. Would it be 80%? Is it double in this case, or is it even?
Not quite. It's not quite, but okay. That duly noted. What do you think, Greg?
I'm going to go with 58%.
Okay, 66.7% return you would have to earn on your money just to get back to where you were before it went away.
Hey, wow. And Coach, what's happening if you're taking money out of that same account?
Well, you're losing money. I mean,
you'll never even catch up.
Well, that's
up,
what we say. Well, you're not, but that has nothing to do. We're looking at the return.
Yeah. Though.
So you have to get a return back. And once you spend it, it's gone.
Yeah.
And so we have to be very, very careful about where our money is, why our money's there, and what's going to happen to it if something doesn't do what we think it's going to do, Thomas.
No doubt. And we see this all the time. You see the market dip, but you never can predict it. And that's why you want to get together with Coach Peter, a member of the team here. Make sure you have a retirement strategy in place. 800-661-7383 is the number to call. 800-661-7383. Or you can always text us. Just text the keyword plan to 600-700, plan to 600-700.
Now, we lose the money. Let's say we lost 40%, like we talked about there. And then the next year, you recover a little bit, and then you recover a little bit, recover a little bit. Like 4 years later, you finally get back to where you were.
Sure.
Yeah. So you got that 66% return, 66.7 over 4 years, and you come in, you tell me, Coach, I'm finally ready to do your recommendations now. I finally got my money back because it was in the place you told me not to have it, and I lost the money, and now I'm back to where I was supposed to be, and I'm so glad we are back to even. That's what you're telling me. Now, are you really back to even 4 years later that when you finally get back to where you were before you lost the money?
Oh, are you referring to inflation now? Let me ask.
No, I'm not referring to inflation.
No.
You're not back to even because, well, number one, you've lost 4 years of time that you could have been growing your money if you would have had it in a safe place or a place that had the growth, protect that growth and income, GPI account.
Okay, sure.
And again, the main ingredients of that growth, protection, income account are to preserve, protect, and defend money you're going to need all the way through your life. Hmm. We don't know where we're going to pass away. We sure don't want our money passing away before we do. Hmm. All right, so Greg, we get there. 4 years later, we're all happy because we're back to even. Then we figure out we're not really back to even. And then the big doozy, what if we didn't lose that money to begin with? That money would have gained interest, and then that interest would have gained interest. That's money we'll never have back in our account.
So Thomas, you're
not back to even, and you'll never get back to even. In that way of looking at it.
Wow. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. It's why it's important to meet with someone like you and just get perspective because all of us, we're not there. We're not in the financial world every day and we don't realize that.
Well, I don't know if you watch sports or not, but when a team gets down and that's what you're like, when you're down 40%, you're down, you're behind the eight ball, you're losing the game. Is it possible and has it happened where when a team gets down like that, they take unnecessary risk to try to get back real quick?
Most certainly.
All right. So when you get down to the market, and you're trying to you're afraid to tell your spouse you lost money. She says, I'll just put it over here in this very high risk stock, but I could probably get a good return in it. You put all your money there. It's supposed to get a good return. It has a potential for good return, a really, really good return. But usually with those, it also has a potential for a really, really bad return. So you can compound your risk if you're not careful. So emotions overtaking investing, absolutely a bad idea. There's something called FOMO. Do you know what FOMO is? F-O-M-O?
Fear of missing out.
Yeah, Greg, you ever heard of that before?
In a different way, but not FOMO, but yeah.
Well, we got Greg, you need to pay more attention lately. So because FOMO's been around a long time, you got kids and grandkids. You should be listening. You should ask them about some of these acronyms. But a lot of people, they go on these stock message boards or they watch Cramer on TV, and they're not in these stocks, so they have a quick case of
FOMO.
That's right,
FOMO.
Greg. See, Greg's learning.
I'm learning.
And then you throw your money in places you don't have any idea about because you don't want to miss what everyone else is talking about as the next best thing.
Yeah.
And the minute you put it in, again, Murphy's Law strikes, and it goes down. So now here we go.
And it's gone.
Now we're in a lot of trouble. So, again, it's just be very careful. We're talking about, later on, we're going to talk about money we lose unnecessarily to taxes many times by not having the proper strategy and plan and tax navigation strategy in place. But there's a lot of money we lose in our investment world, our retirement world, because we're taking a lot more risk or we don't really understand the risk we are taking. Greg, have you ever seen somebody or talked to somebody where looking at their portfolio, they had a whole lot more risk than they admitted to or understood they had?
Oh, my gosh. The other day, Coach, I was with a gentleman from Wilmington.
Yep.
And he was 75 years old and he had $2 million, 98%. In equities.
That's scary.
I mean, that's the Hail Mary financial planning I've ever seen it, man.
So he was 75. How long had he been taking this direction in investing?
He's been doing it his whole life. And I said, hey, look, man, said, you've been on a bender for your whole life.
Okay.
Just totally risk. It is time to take some money off the table. And he looked at me kind of like sheepishly. And he goes, you know something? You're right. I got to do something about this.
Well, if you've been taking a lot, the same amount of risk for his whole life, hopefully he's done pretty well. Has he done pretty well?
He's done very well.
Okay. So now.
But he also knows now he's 75.
Well, it's also when you see a team get a big lead in the game, if they keep doing what they were doing to get the lead, many times they give the lead back. But they can do a prevent defense, which I'm not a big fan of prevent defense in football because usually it prevents you from winning.
Yeah.
But there are simple strategies that we can enact to prevent you from losing any money while you still can gain money so you'll never go back. You'll never have that situation where I drove a manual transmission car, stick shift back in the day, and you go up a hill.
On a hill.
That's you don't ever want to be on the hill trying to press the brake and then trying to get the clutch in right gear because you usually go backwards. So we don't want to have the backwards plan. So this is about making sure we understand what's going on in our portfolio. And here's what we'll do for the next seven of you who call with at least $300,000 dedicated to retirement. We're going to follow a three-step process to create a comprehensive financial and retirement plan that aligns with your financial and retirement goals and your values. Now, first, we're going to understand what money means to you and how it fits into your life. Then we're going to organize your finances so you have a crystal clear picture of where you currently stand right now. That is the most important aspect in the financial world that is the most overlooked, is understanding and fully knowing where you really are right now. I've talked to a lot of people, I know you have, Greg, too, and over the past, who thought they were one place and they really weren't. It's a game of financial hide and seek if we're not careful. Now, next we're going to talk about your financial goals. What are your short, medium, and long-term goals? More importantly to us, what are your dreams? Now we're going to work together to clarify your goals and dreams so they're crystal clear and tangible. And then finally, we're going to create an actionable step process. Yes, a check sheet, a checklist we'll share with you, but we can help you do it behind the scenes to get you on that path towards financial and retirement independence. Now, this is not something we set aside on the bookshelf. Just like physical fitness, your financial fitness needs constant attention throughout your career and beyond. But don't worry, folks. We're going to be here every step of the way to guide you and make sure your money's working just as hard for you as you did to get it. Thomas, the next seven people have about $300,000 or more dedicated to retirement, and our strategies do work best for those of you with over $1 million or more dedicated to retirement. But hey, if you're serious, we're serious too. And I've got a three-book set of three of the books that I have written, along with the seven reasons why successful investors choose fiduciaries and a very special Coach Pete-approved notebook. You'll get that and much more. Call right now.
All right, that number, 800-661-7383, 800-661-7383. You can also text that keyword, PLAN, to 600-700, PLAN to 600-700. Folks, finally, someone's offering retirees and pre-retirees some common sense, a little bit of straight talk instead of the double talk and those sales pitches that you can get. So if you want to sit down with Coach Pete and the team, get your own retirement roadmap put together that translates that complex financial world into clear instructions, all you have to do is call, take advantage of one of these seven spots that we have open on our calendar, and you can get that comprehensive retirement review today. That number, 800-661-7383, 800-661-7383, or text keyword PLAN to 600-700, PLAN to 600-700. Now, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more after this. Welcome back into the Financial Safari. Consumer advocate Thomas Lipscomb here with you again alongside best-selling author Coach Pete DeRuta, as well as our retirement insurance planner Greg Berrien. Also have a special guest that has stepped into the studio. Coach, do you want to take it away, introduce who's walked in
here? Yeah, like I teased you on the first segment where he's here.
He is here.
Just drove in from Greenville, South Carolina. Mr. Ed Storr. Ed, welcome in.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Glad to be here.
Now, Ed is with the Wealth Training Academy. Now, not to be confused with that one that's trying to teach you how to buy and sell stocks. That's a different training academy. No, this is a wealth training academy. It has nothing to do with buying and selling stocks,
no, absolutely not.
Jumping in and out and
absolutely.
Hoping to win, right?
No, not at all.
Yeah, we don't want to hope to win, do we?
We want to plan to win, and that's the whole idea. And the only way to win is to plan, so you got to make sure that happens. No, the Wealth Training Academy is what we call a family office. Actually, I always tell people to Google that because the uber wealthy utilizes family offices all the time. you usually have to have $15 to $20 million to buy into a family office.
Right.
But what they do is they handle taxes, investments, insurance, and estate planning, as well as business coaching and advising, all at one place. The whole team is working together for you. So
my, sounds like you're reading that to me.
Yeah, I know. Well, not,
really?
Yeah, I got that memorized, don't I? Look at that. So
when I think of a family office, I think of like the Beverly Hillbillies. If they ever open up an office, it'd be a family. You'd walk in and Jethro would be in there and Granny. That's not what. Well, actually, they would qualify for a family office. They were rich.
They would actually qualify
for
a family
office.
But I pictured
them as the employees of the family office.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
that was only $30 million, too. I think Jack Clampett only had about $30
million. Yeah, that back then, $30 million was $100 million.
Exactly. It was a long time ago.
How much do you have right now? Yeah, that was a long time ago, but you still have $30 million today. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, Greg. Week $30
million. I jest.
All right, John. So
going back to the idea of what we do is we actually have taken those concepts. I took those concepts from the world of Morgan Stanley, where I used to work and be the bid bag broker. And 18 years ago, I formed the Wealth Training Academy and brought that down to small to mid-sized business owners,
right,
as well as middle to upper middle class America, because that's who pays the most taxes and fees and commissions, and they're the ones who really need the help.
That's who's paying their fair share already.
Well, they need to pay less than their
fair share.
Yeah, I mean, we all know that
the funny thing, the
Uber
people that always say you need to pay your fair share, guess what they're paying? Nothing.
<Zero. usually. laughs>
Yeah. Why don't you pay your fair share and then come talk to me about my fair share? Thomas, you're quiet over there.
It's very true. It's very true.
All right. We need to hear some action for the control booth over there. Thomas to think that he's not paying his fair share.
I have been doing a little bit of work over here. So Jed Clampett was worth $25 million in 1962. And so
would that be worth today?
And so if you take that, $1 in 1962 is worth $9.08 today. So that's $227 million in 2021 dollars.
That's a lot of black gold in Texas tea.
I have been quiet, but the numbers have been running.
Greg, is that still only 30
that
million?
That works for me.
All right. Now, let's talk about
the big
thing.
I'm sorry I brought this up.
All right, let's get serious. We're talking now. I wanted to have you on, though, Ed, because there's a lot of folks out there that are making money in the stock market or real estate, especially real estate or crypto or wherever. The problem is, many times this is the first time people have really made kind of money like this. Yeah. They've been in and out of things like they buy this, they buy that, they buy this, they buy that. They sell, buy. And they forget that every single time they sell, the IRS wants to know about it or will know about
it. They will know
about it. And so there's going to be capital gains taxes, and it's either short term, that's a year or less. You held the asset for a year or less. Mm-hmm. And made profit, or long-term, that's if you hold longer than a year, of course, and make profit, the long-term capital gains as it exists now is lower than the short-term. Short-term is based on your income tax rate. The long-term is a rate that the IRS decides each year and can be retroactively go back and up it if they want sometimes.
Yep.
So that's worrisome. So how can... We all have to pay taxes. I was going to say, how can someone get around paying taxes? Well, you can end up in something called Leavenworth, maybe.
Well, we don't want to go there.
But how can we legally structure our assets in a way to pay our fair share and stay out of trouble at the same time?
Well, there's multiple opportunities, multiple ways, depending on where you are, your stage in life. There's programs today that are called donor advisor funds.
Okay.
That allow people to make donations to charities and take tax deductions. I'm a big believer in using trusts.
Yep.
I'm also a big believer in those who are helping charities in any way, shape, or form to set up charitable remainder trusts and charitable lead trusts.
Now, charitable remainder trust, otherwise known as CRT, not the bad CRT.
No, not bad. No. Not the bad CRT.
You got to be careful when you throw out. You didn't. I'm glad you didn't. You said, Coach, all we need is CRT.
And go to a school board meeting.
It'll be nice knowing you.
All right. So charitable remainder trust is the one that most people talk about, that I hear talked about more.
Yes.
And by the way, I'm not an attorney. I'm not a CPA. You're not an attorney.
I'm not an attorney, not a CPA.
You have tax training in the past.
I do.
And Greg, you're not an attorney, you're CPA. But we're just giving what we've seen out there. You really need, when you put together a CRT, Charitable Remainder Trust, you involve a CPA, an attorney, and a financial professional to make sure this is done the right way.
You have to. If
not,
you
can't do it yourself.
No,
it's not a Google thing, is it?
No, you're not going to print this out on LegalZoom.
Well, you can, but it wouldn't be recommended.
No, actually, I don't even think
maybe you can't.
Yeah, who knows? No, you can't, I know, because it's a federal specific situation.
I always go to professionals when I have something professionally needed. If my car needs work, I take it to the automotive guy. If I have a tooth problem, I don't go to Home Depot and buy some stuff and go home and try to fix it myself in my mouth. I said Home Depot, yeah.
And what kind of Roto-Rooters are you?
Well, a drill. You hear a drill when you go to the dentist's office.
Oh, that's true.
There's no worse sound in my life than that dental drill.
I hate that.
Yeah, especially when it's your mouth they're in. All right, so.
And you wonder why we pay them so much.
We have to have professionals, right? So again, especially when we're talking about tax law, because we don't want to make mistakes here. It could be an unintentional mistake, and you still are going to be in trouble. And no one wants to get that certified letter or a visit with a couple guys in suits.
Definitely. Oh, no.
That I see on TV every now and then. Luckily, I've never seen that, Greg. So.
Yeah.
All right, so what would you recommend with a small business or just somebody in business for themselves or has a good profit? Maybe they're just sitting at home trading. But they're getting a big profit. Before there's some things you need to do before you ever execute the profit or execute a trade. All right,
absolutely.
So take us through what a charitable remainder trust is, maybe a little bit of history and why it makes sense to you in your mind. And we only have about 4 minutes.
Okay.
And again, this is just an introduction. We've got a podcast coming up on this too.
Yeah, I mean, let's just take it from real simple. Basically, if you're charitable minded, you create what's called a charitable remainder trust.
Yep.
You are the grantor. There's a trustee. There's an income platform, and then there's a remainder. Real simple. Basically, you donate. Let's say $500,000, $700,000. We'll just say $500,000 to charity, depending on where you get it from.
Right.
The dollars go into the trust before you sell any asset, before you sell a business or your currency or whatever it is
stocks,
that you're doing, stocks.
Whatever. Yep.
You take those, transfer them into the trust, hence why you need the attorney. Those dollars are designed for charity. You can pull an income off of it for the rest of your life, which is great.
Immediately?
Immediately.
Okay.
Okay. You get the tax deduction up front.
Immediately?
Immediately.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And then at the very end, the assets that you donated go to charity.
Okay.
And so that's a charitable remainder trust.
When you say the very end, that means at the end
of the time period of the trust. And you can set that 5, 10, 20 years if you want
to. Okay, so you can get 20 years of an income stream.
Absolutely.
Then I have seen people take that income stream, then they use that income stream to buy a life insurance policy that gives a tax-free death benefit and also tax-free retirement income.
That's right.
So it's a good way to minimize taxes today, but also maximize income in the future. Now, and then also give to charity at the same time.
Same time.
Get a tax deduction.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, I would say this. I would highly suggest this. If you're going to take the income from the charity, from the charitable remainder trust, and you're buying the life insurance policy, make sure to design and structure that life insurance policy, again, back into a trust.
When you're with the attorney, you talk about IWIT, an irrevocable life insurance trust.
That's right, exactly.
All these acronyms, IWIT.
I wasn't using any of the acronyms.
I'm just telling you what I see out there. Like, I'm glad you're not. Yeah. All right, but we were talking about the other day, and when we're going to talk a little bit more about charitable remainder trust, but there's something you say is even better as long as it's done
correctly.
Quickly.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that in the next segment, folks. Oh, so stay on. It's a CLT. We're not going to talk about it. Not a BLT. But I'm not going to tell you what it means. I'm not going to tell you what it means until we come back in the next segment. So let's talk a little bit more about CRT, though. What have you seen? Have there been some mistakes people make, or what are the main mistakes? Or one of the main mistakes is people don't know about it and haven't utilized it, but once they utilize it, have they made mistakes?
The biggest mistakes people will make is wanting to set up the charitable remainder trust after they've sold the asset.
Yeah, that's trying to unwreck a car right there.
Big time. Or we'll see people take money out of their IRAs as required minimum distribution, and then they'll go fund a CRT. That's crazy too. Just the biggest thing is you need to make sure that your CPA, your tax person, and or the estate planning attorney. And by the way, you can't just use a regular attorney. This isn't somebody you just jump down and...
No, they've got to be a specialist.
Yeah, they got specialized in estate planning.
Yeah,
okay?
Of course.
So, and there's specialists out there that do that. So you got
to
make sure
you don't
sure
want to go to a veterinarian for your own brain surgery.
No.
Even though they went to some sort
of
medical
school.
Just because they
have attorney in their name doesn't mean they know what they're doing on this.
Well...
And you have to make sure the
investment... My wife and brother are attorneys, so I agree with that.
So you got to make sure that the team's working together. Because if the team's not working together, and that's the biggest mistake, Coach, we see all the time, is if the team's not working together, somebody's going
to
screw up.
Well, if it's not even a team to begin with, it's never going to work together. So that's why it's important to have that communication between all your different advisors and making sure they're on the same page. And the page should be the book of you. It shouldn't be their book. And so it's not what, here's what I want to do. No, it's here's what we need done for us. Correct. That's why you don't let the person who's trying to sell it to you sell you the wrong thing, in other words. Yeah. And so the main goal here in the financial world, and the reason why we've done this show, the show's been really successful for almost 18 years now.
Dang.
Is we teach and have taught people over the years how to preserve, protect, and defend their money.
Yes.
Now, whenever I talk about something on the show, it has to meet those three qualifications. And in my opinion, a properly set up CRT, charitable remainder trust, preserves, protects, and defends your money. And correct. Also helps out a good cause, churches or charity or whatever like that.
It's the backbone of our society, our churches, and we got to help them.
Right. And so we're going to start having some webinars on this every month, a new webinar on tax sheltering strategies like this at neverneverplan.com. 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 Sort of like a play on Michael Jackson a little bit.
Yeah.
But
like it.
Never pay too much in taxes and never be confused and never get taken advantage of. So NeverNeverPlan.com. Thomas loves that site. But in the meantime, if you'd like your very own consultation to see if this would make sense for you and your family to shelter on taxes and build a retirement income and also get a charitable write-off, really good way to do it, give us a call right now. The next 10 of you. Now, so Ed, I know, and you usually charge about $2,500 to go through and see if this makes sense. Yeah. That's it, in addition to attorney fees and all that. But just to do that, are you going to waive that for our next 10 people?
I'm going to waive that for your next 10 people.
Okay, wow. Thomas, let's do that. Let's at least see if this makes sense or not. And then we've got even better news coming up next. But call right now. Get on that list. Thomas, tell them how to do that.
Yeah, let's do this. 800-661-7383. 800-661-7383. We also have a great way you can text in. Just text keyword plan to 600-700. That's plan to 600-700. Great opportunity here. And folks, stay tuned. We'll be back with more right after this.
Well, welcome back into Financial Safari. Fast-moving show. Fun show today, folks. We're talking about ways to minimize taxes. Very, very important. We call it tax navigation strategy, looking ahead in the tax code to protect your behind from the tax man. And we talked about charitable remainder trust on the last segment. We're going to go into more detail on this in future shows. We're also going to have a webinar every month on new tax sheltering strategies that may be overlooked, that you may not be hearing about at neverneverplan.com. Neverneverplan.com. Yeah, I said it. Never, never.
Never,
plan.
Never.
Just two nevers. Plan.com. Now, Thomas, one of the things you should never do is fall for dirty tricks. And unfortunately, every single week we see a broker who is violating that and doing dirty tricks on his or her clients.
The Financial Safari News Network presents Brokers Behaving Badly.
Now one from the What Was He Thinking file. We meet Isaiah Goodman, a now former financial advisor found guilty of fleecing nearly two dozen clients out of more than $2.3 million. From 2017 to 2020, Goodman claimed to be investing client funds into secure and profitable accounts, but instead, he put the money into bank accounts that he controlled. According to the U.S. Attorney's Office in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Goodman used the money to purchase and remodel his home in Maple Grove, Minnesota. Then he built a new home in Plymouth, Minnesota to the tune of $1.69 million. Add a couple of cars, about $700,000 into other businesses. Oh, then it became a low-level Ponzi scheme when he used some of the money he took to pay back other clients when they complained. Goodman was sentenced to 7 years in federal prison plus 3 years supervised probation. He must also forfeit his real estate equity, a vehicle, and other property. Mr. Goodman is 33 years old. He's been in the financial industry since 2012. That's only 9 years. And in that time, passed 5 exams, including the Series 66, that actually made him a fiduciary. He clearly didn't take it seriously. BrokerCheck showed 3 disclosures going back to 2014. A quick search on BrokerCheck could have saved some of his clients from losing a lot of money. I always say, make sure you're dealing with a true fiduciary, and please use BrokerCheck to see what's been going on behind the scenes.
Ed, what do you think's going on out there? Every single week, we have we have to choose Thomas today. Like
we do.
Tens or 20s of these come in every week, and Steve has to choose the most blatant one, I guess, or the most entertaining one to feature. Why do people do this? Why do advisors take advantage of clients when doing the right thing, they can make plenty of money?
Mm-hmm.
I can't speak for why people or why other advisors would take advantage of other people. Here's the thing. There's so many people selling product. Don't buy product until you have a plan.
You got to do a strategy. First, a strategy. Strategy, then plan around that strategy. Mm-hmm. Do a future-looking plan, obviously, and then enact. But don't put the cart before the horse.
Never.
Plenty of products out there, by the way. Mm-hmm. Thomas, I mean, there's too many products. So our job is to filter through the products and find the ones that meet your strategy and what you want to have happen.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's fun. It's I never did like putting puzzles together growing up. You know why? You ever go on the rental properties when you go in there and like there's a box and it's a puzzle.
It's
like,
puzzle.
You pour it out on the table and you start putting it together. You work the whole week and there's three or four pieces missing at the end.
Yeah,
always.
Yeah.
You know, I even
and that's by the way.
One time we bought a brand new puzzle and opened it was still a missing piece. Greg.
You described
Thomas.
I think so.
You literally just described what we see day in and day out. Just last week, literally sat down with somebody and they walked in with this binder. That had to be 4 inches thick.
Oh.
It's like this. I paid $10,000 for this, Ed. I want you to find a problem with it. Well, first off, don't challenge me to find a problem because that's what I'm
built
for.
The problem is it's too heavy. Number one, carpal tunnel stuff over there.
Well, you're laughing. I said, okay, how old is this? He goes, I just got this a year and a half ago. This is brand new. I said, great. Who can access your plan other than you and other than in this binder?
Was it printed out?
It's like little birds going chirp.
Was it printed out? What do you mean access the plan?
No one but him could access it, and it was.
I don't know what you mean access. Okay.
Well, in other words, it wasn't online. It wasn't dined up in a client portal.
That might not be a bad thing when you think about it these days.
But wait a second. If he's in need or if he's in problem, if he's got incapacitated, who's going to take over? How's everybody going to help him?
You have to have the binder.
So you need to have that updated. In today's world, if you hit print, it's over. You need to make sure that it can be accessible anytime you want to.
Was the binder, the word... the pages printed out in Word perfect. That was like from the 80s.
I remember that one. Yeah.
He couldn't access it. No one could help him do it. He couldn't see what was going on with the causes.
All right.
And again, his trust wasn't even updated.
Now let's talk about, we're getting into the segment a little bit now. So we need to talk about something I promised before. It's a charitable lead trust, a CLT, not to keep confused with a BLT, which in July is the best time here in North Carolina. Tomatoes come off the vines and bacon. That's about $20 more than it used to be. and some good Duke's mayonnaise. Even though I'm a Carolina fan, I say Duke's mayonnaise.
There you go.
And some lettuce. Thomas, you know what I'm talking about over there.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So
and white bread, too.
Charitable lead trust. Yep. Many people have never heard of this. They've heard of charitable remainder trust. Now, what is the difference and why is it a very important thing to learn right now before the end of the year?
The charitable lead trust is different from the charitable remainder trust in that the charitable lead trust at the end of the term of the trust, the assets revert back to you and or the heirs tax free. Anything up and beyond the point that you've given to charity, you get those money back tax free.
Okay.
Now, the beautiful part of why we want to do this now before any other time is your adjusted gross income this year is 100% of the earnings that you make. So let's say you have $200,000 earning, you can give to a charitable lead trust. You can take that tax deduction 100% against your adjusted gross income. If the money that you give to charities go beyond that point of adjusted gross income, you can carry that
for the next year.
Up for five years. You can carry it forward for 5 years.
All right. So an example, someone makes $500,000.
Correct.
And that's after they get all the expenses out. That's their bottom line, $500,000. So either they're going to have to pay tax on $500,000 or they can donate $500,000 to charitable lead trust. And how much do they pay in taxes now?
Bingo, zero.
Zero. None. You're making a little zero sound.
I know.
Bingo. Turn the radio.
That is.
Why has anybody seen
this? Also, you better be careful with that. Even though it used to be the AOK symbol to us, it means something else now, evidently. So don't do that in public. All right. So $500,000. They were going to have to pay probably tax of 100-some thousand at least, right?
At least.
So now they don't pay any taxes. So what happens next? They put $500,000, they donate it to or put it into the charitable lead trust, and what happens next?
The charitable lead trust gets the income off of it. You decide how much you're going to donate per year or how many how long or you want the trust to go for.
Can you do it for as little as 5 years?
You can do it for as little as 5 years. You can do it as up. I've seen people do it as long as 30 years, but let's just say 20 years.
So what's the advantage of making a term longer if you're going to get the money back at the end?
Great question. In that,
of course, it's a great question.
It allows you to decide to the multiple different charities that you want to give to. You don't have to keep giving to the same charity at all. It allows.
So for 5 years, you get to one charity. The next year, or next year, you can do another one. 5 years later,
you can. Every year,
or every single year, you can
change
the charity.
Every year, you can do.
So it's not a. It's an irrevocable trust, but that's not irrevocable in there. I guess
that portion is not irrevocable.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Okay. Right? Yeah.
The other thing is that setting it up long term like this, you're actually setting up an income for your heirs. So the nice thing is you can change the beneficiaries. You can modify who gets the income. It's really a great thing. But the beautiful part is where people don't like the charitable remainder trust is the assets that you should be investing correctly. Because, by the way, the big key here on a charitable lead trust versus a charitable remainder trust, the income that you're actually receiving off the charitable lead trust is phantom tax to you. So you want to make sure that you're investing correctly in some type of tax-free situation, because you wouldn't want to get a tax deduction and then turn around pay taxes on something that you just gave away.
But you're not getting the income anyway.
You're not getting the income anyway, but
you
it
have
is
to have it set up correctly.
That's right.
Get it set up with a professional. But the main thing here is the charitable remainder trust, you would get the income stream, but you would not get the asset at the end.
Correct.
And the charitable lead trust, you don't get the income stream, but then
you get the asset, whatever
assets are left there, or is it about, can you set it up where it's the same amount or more than you put in to begin with?
You can, well, that's up to you and the investment person. So you can set it up to be aggressive where you want it to grow and anything left over goes to the heirs, or you can just set it up so you're just maintaining and just giving to the charity.
Let's say it doesn't perform well. You got the tax write-off, so you didn't have to pay any taxes that first year. You put $500,000 in, you would have had to pay about $150,000 in taxes. 5 years later, let's say when it expires or that's when you set it up, there's no money left. So the charity got that $500,000 of the income stream, whatever. You don't get anything at the end.
That's correct.
So that could be a bad thing.
So you got to make sure that, again, you got to make sure your structures and, again, you have to make sure the team's working for you with you throughout the process.
Have you seen some bad situations where they weren't done right?
I have seen where people ended up owing more money to the charity at the end because they didn't do a good job of investing. They put in things that were too risky and they didn't guarantee the income.
But you have some strategies where that won't happen.
Absolutely.
Well, shouldn't happen ever, right?
Well, yeah, it should never.
Okay. So, but it makes, I mean, again, taxes are no fun. We all try to pay our fair share, but we don't have to pay more than our fair share. And there are some, like, utilizing a tax code is what the richest people in the world have always done. That's why they stay ahead.
I always say this, taxes first, taxes last.
And they donate to politicians and make sure that their things stay in there, right? So that's what happens. It's a cycle. So you either can be on the bad side of the cycle or the good side of the cycle. Yeah. Or just utilize what the bad guys or the guys that are taking advantage of or in the right way, utilize what they're using for you. It used to take millions and millions of dollars to do something like this.
Yeah. Now you can do it. You know, I wouldn't establish a charitable remainder or charitable lead trust under $250,000.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you mean a tax bill of $200,000, like a gross income of $250,000?
No, I mean that you're going to donate assets of.
Okay. Yeah. So then I know it's no fun to pay any tax. I get mad paying a sales tax, like when you look at the bill for like $10 and another dollar for tax on there. But we're talking about big taxes.
Big taxes.
If you're making like $500,000 or $1 million and then you have this gigantic tower more as a business owner, you make a lot of money you don't get any credit for that. And plus, you got payroll and you don't know what could happen next day. So making a lot of money is not a bad thing because you need to learn how to squirrel some of that money away in the right way.
Oh, yeah.
Coach, the other thing is that I would really look at the idea that if you have a very large traditional IRA, that this is a great way to maximize the opportunity to give some of that large traditional IRA to charity and get a huge tax deduction. Because if not, you're going to have to pay a huge amount of taxes when you take it down anyway, which causes a lot of tax on Social Security and Medicare.
Now, how does that affect the required minimum distribution if you put a large IRA in there?
You still have required minimum distribution on the dollars that are left over in the pre-tax account.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, the secret is, we all file the same tax return. It's a 1040, right?
It is.
But the secret is getting with a team that can help you utilize the pages in there you can attach to it to make it better for you. And that's why we had you on, Ed. I appreciate Ed Storr again, folks, from the Wealth Training Academy, Greenville, South Carolina. Thanks for having you in today.
Thanks,
folks,
Coach,
if you would like to have your own analysis, number one, seeing if you could utilize either a CRT or a CLT, Charitable Remainder Trust, Charitable Lead Trust. For the next 10 of you who call, Ed usually charges $2,500 for a gap analysis to see if you can qualify. He will do that for you at no cost. We will do that for you working with Ed. if you call right now.
Folks, that number, 800-661-7383, 800-661-7383. You can also take advantage, connect with the team by texting the keyword PLAN to 600-700, PLAN to 600-700.
And Ed will be on those video webinars we're going to start doing next month at neverneverplan.com. There's nothing at never, there's never, never plan yet, but there will be. And so we'll be talking about that more in the future, because these are strategies, folks, that you can utilize to keep more of your money where it belongs, in your pocket. We'll be right back after this.
Welcome back into the Financial Safari. Thomas Lipscomb here alongside retirement and insurance planner Greg Berrien, as well as best-selling author Coach Pete DeRuda. Ed, no longer in studio with us, but man, that was a couple of segments that was absolute fire, if I must say.
Pretty fantastic to learn new techniques if you haven't heard these before. Greg, charitable remainder trust. A lot of people have always asked me about charitable remainder trust because they heard something or read something, but charitable lead trust, whole different ball game, and a whole better ball game if you understand it completely. Unfortunately, they're taking that away soon, so we need to take advantage of it while we can.
Act.
But yeah. This way, I mean, if you can write a check to be able to write less of a check to Uncle Sam, and the check that you wrote would go to you later and charities, it makes a whole lot of sense.
Does,
you know, one guy always told me, when I had a client, he's passed away now, unfortunately, and he always flew first class. First class. He said, Coach, even when I wasn't making too much money, I flew first class. And I said, why is that? He said, because someone once told me, if I don't fly first class, my children are going to fly first class.
So think about that. Wow, that's
either you're going to spend it, they're going to spend it.
There you go. It's true.
And there's always been the stories about how fast that people blow through inheritances, like grandkids or kids. The average was like 8.3 months they blow through an inheritance. Well, because they have special help. They have help from the tax man.
Yeah.
So let's say you leave somebody $1 million and you didn't structure it properly as far as tax efficiently. And so by the time it gets to your children or grandchildren, $1 million is maybe $600,000. And then, of course, you split it amongst the children and they blow it. And that's what happens. I mean, because you didn't work hard for it many times.
They don't respect it.
This is just, there are some cases where we've seen the kids manage the money better than the parents did.
True.
But in most cases, Thomas, if you don't work for something, you don't appreciate it as much as you do when you do work hard for it.
No, it's true. It's absolutely true. It reminds me of an article. James Bond, the guy who played James Bond in Casino Royale. Help me with his name real quick.
Which one was it?
Casino Royale. So this was...
How long ago was that?
That was about 6 or 7 years ago. That was Daniel Craig, I believe.
Oh, the same guy that's doing it now.
There you go. Daniel Craig was interviewed the other day because he said he would not leave a penny to his kids. And what he said is, he was quoting, I believe, Warren Buffett or someone similar that said, I want to get you through college. Right. I want to make sure you're set up and ready for success. But after that, you need to stand on your own 2 feet.
Wouldn't that be the lemon juice of your life there, when basically you realize that you look around and you have silver spoons all over the place and you've had a great life, and then you realize your parents aren't living any of it?
Yeah. Holy cow.
That's almost torture. I almost wouldn't want to see that.
It's
sort of like, I lived in Wisconsin from kindergarten to third grade, then my parents moved down here to North Carolina. I could never go back to Wisconsin again. So if you're used to living in with a lot of money and then you don't have money, that's a tough little, that's a tough journey
That's a tough walk.
It's like the opposite of a Disney fairy tale.
Yeah.
Riches to rags. Yeah.
So we just have to be careful. We have to make sure that we understand everything. But that always tickled my funny bone when he said that he flew first class, because if he didn't, his kids were going to anyway. So
that
made a lot of sense.
That's very funny.
We have a year this episode?
Yes, check this out.
Through the years, let's take a trip back in time.
Back in time.
1964.
The British are coming!
The beginning of another British invasion. Not the Revolution. Not the War of 1812.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles!
The Beatles appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show and held the top 5 positions on the Billboard Hot 100. The beginning of Beatlemania. And of course, I Want to Hold Your Hand was the number one song of the year. In April of 1964, at the World's Fair in New York, Lee Iacocca, vice president of Ford Motor Company at the time, introduced the original 1965 Mustang.
Mustang by Ford.
Ford planned 100,000 to be sold the first year. Dealers sold 22,000 the first day. The Dow closed at 874 that year. Gas was 30 cents a gallon. Average annual income, 6,000. LBJ signed the Civil Rights Act of 1964 into law. Congress gave LBJ the authorization to use military force in Southeast Asia. The Warren Commission concluded that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone, which ushered in the many conspiracy theories. You know, Grassy Knoll. TV shows included Bonanza, Bewitched, and Gomer leaves Mayberry to join the Marines in Gomer Pyle, USMC. One of the hot new toy releases in 1964...
is Blockin' Rock'em?
Get the Rock'em Sock'em Robots by Mark.
That was 1964.
We've now arrived safely back in the present.
We hope you enjoyed your trip. Here's to a smooth ride into retirement.
I had the Rock'em Sock'em robots back in the
day. You knocked my block off.
Yeah, my brothers and I, we were really, really young then because I was born in 66. But Sock'ems were invented in 64. But I remember at least one or two of my brothers, well, I only have two. But I mean, I remember even the youngest, I think, played that. And then we had a cousin who was really good in that, and we didn't like playing with him.
No.
He would always knock our block off, Greg.
Yeah.
Cousin Steve.
They've made a comeback. I just saw him in the store the other day, sitting there on the shelf. Yeah.
It's funny what you remember and what you don't remember. It was fun. And if you hit it just right, the head would spring up and you'd win. You know, like, all right, so let's look at the 1964. A lot of things happened there. Gas prices were low. Like, what is this, 30 cents a gallon, they said.
That's
huh?
crazy.
Remember those days, Greg?
Oh, Lord, I remember when it turned 50 cents. That's how.
Oh, man. Well, I remember in Wisconsin, I remember 37 cents when I was younger in the 70s, waiting, you know, the backseat of the car, waiting for mom to get gas.
Yeah.
Remember
the
gas lines, all those things. So things go forward, and it's fun to look back and some of the toys that we forgot and all these kind of things.
Absolutely, it is.
Now, Thomas, do we have any questions?
We actually have a few, and I want to let our listeners know, if you have your own question that you want to have here featured on the show, doesn't just have to be in written form. You can actually record your voice and have your own question featured on air. Just visit financialsafari.com. Super easy. financialsafari.com. That's the name of the program that you are listening to, if you're unaware. And all you have to do is click on the Ask a Question button right there at the top of the screen. It's as easy as that. It'll pop up, record your question, and you could be right here on air. Now, you ready to get into a question?
Sure.
All right, the first one, this one's written in. Ron wrote in, and he is from Cary, just right beside us here. And he said, I just turned 52, been working for the same company for nearly 21 years. I came in at the tail end of pensions and then was converted to a 401k. He says, I've never met with an advisor, and I think it's time. What should I be looking for, and how should I prepare?
So he had a pension, now he has a 401k and doesn't have the pension anymore.
That's what it sounds like.
Well, he got someone talking about the pension, Greg.
Yeah.
Is that a good, usually that's not a good move.
No.
It depends on what kind of pension it was.
It all depends,
But if the companies offer a great new thing to you and they try to encourage you to move over, many times there's a reason why they're trying to encourage
follow
you to
follow the
move.
Money, coach.
Well, it's not good news for you many times. It's like the government system. They had the CSRS and then they invented the FERS, F-E-R-S. One was called the Civil Service Retirement System. The other one is Federal Employee Retirement System. And guess which one is hardly available anymore? CSRS, because it was so much more better, Thomas.
More better
a lot of times for people. So just be very careful if someone is telling you that's the best thing ever to move it, and it's like somebody, they're authorized by the company to be there kind of thing. Many times it's not.
Makes a lot of sense.
All right, so did he say how much he had saved already?
He did not say how much he had saved. No, okay. His big question was, what should he be looking out for when looking for an advisor, I think? I think he just realizes that he needs help at this point. Everything's a little scattered around. What should he be looking out for?
52, he's in what I call the financial red zone. I say 50 and above, you really need to start paying more attention to the money you have, because it takes that much longer to get it back, if you do the wrong things and it disappears. So we need to make sure that he has an income plan, too, for retirement. I would encourage him to find out about the GPI plan, growth, protect that growth, and then lifetime income whenever he decides to activate it. So GPI, growth, protection, income. And many people overlook that. They get to retirement, they have a bunch of lump sums, but they have no idea what kind of consistent, persistent, reliable income they could be guaranteed to get the rest of their life. Anyone can take income from a stock account, Greg, until the income runs out, until the money goes away, and then you don't have any more income, right?
Then it's done.
Yeah. So you've seen people like this, too. They say, hey, I'm just going to manage my stocks and I'm going to live off my stocks. Is that a worry-free way to approach retirement?
I would say that's not too prudent, Coach.
Well, maybe prudent, but it's not worry-free.
Yeah, certainly not worry-free.
No. I mean, you know. Well, my broker says everything will be fine. Yeah,
until 85% chance, Coach.
Where'd your broker go when it isn't? So, yeah, you know, is your broker going to make up the difference? Yeah. No.
In hiding.
Yeah, so be very, very careful on that. It's just about, yeah, Thomas, I would recommend dealing with a retirement income certified professional, RICP. That's a designation by the American College. And RICP folks specialize in showing you what that lump sum you have can turn into as far as a lifetime income you can never outlive. Showing it, seeing it, and believing it, Greg, you need to see it so you see the numbers. And then it's up to you to make an informed decision if that makes sense or not. But just saying, hey, I don't need that, my broker said everything's fine, that's not good enough. That's sure not going to be good enough the day after something isn't fine, is it?
No, it's not. And I think that's the key word right there is making an informed decision. So, folks, if you want to make an informed decision about your retirement, get the facts. 800-661-7383, 800-661-7383. You can also text us. Just text keyword plan to 600-700, plan to 600-700.
Yeah, I wanted to mention a couple of websites. One is the one that people love. Any kind of information you ever could dream of having, written information, audiobooks, you name it, workbooks, guidebooks, video series, interviews, former shows. I mean, it's a cornucopia of information. Is that PeteOnDemand.com, P-E-T-E on demand.com. Thomas, what do they see when they go there?
A little bit of everything. I love this website because you can come here, and obviously we get a lot of questions about IRAs, 401ks. We have a whole section dedicated to the IRA, the 401k, the 401k survival series that we talk about here on the program.
If you have a 401k, well, you're killing yourself not watching something like this. You've got to be informed about your 401k, not just, hey, I selected these options, let's just see what happens and when I get to retirement. That's not a good plan.
No, it's not. I hear all my friends talking about it, and they're like, yeah, some guy came in for a few minutes the other day. I think I remember him from last year, said something about something, and then he was gone.
Manage your 401k like that guy came in, sat in front of your computer, had your whole bank account information in front of him or her. Manage your account like that. Make sure you understand why they're looking at that, what they're recommending, and more importantly, what's in it for you.
There you go.
Long-term aspects, the income feature that 401ks don't really have, the lifetime income, is something that every single one of you needs. And you have a way to get that using in-service distributions through your 401k. That means you can move the money out tax-free into your own accounts if you're over certain ages, 59 a lot of times, maybe even lower than that. If you're not working at a company anymore, you can definitely roll that into a super IRA, I call it. And that means we roll all the different little scattered 401ks and IRAs into one account and then have an income plan built in there. So now you know exactly what kind of income you're going to get. It all makes sense if we understand the money process.
There you go.
And the rules never make sense until you understand the rules. But let's do this. If you call right now, as we leave for a week, the next five of you will put together for you your very own total retirement plan. It's a strategic development process, reviewing your tax returns to uncover long-term tax issues that may exist in your IRAs, 401ks, capital gains taxes, maybe even Social Security taxes. We're also going to establish your income goal, that's money needed to cover the costs of enjoying your lifestyle, analyze your current investments to establish the real cost and fees, and that calculated risk exposure level. Based on the risk you're taking right now, what would happen if you're the money world went the wrong way. So we'll do all that and much more, as well as a three-book set and that box set. As long as you have $400,000 dedicated to retirement, this offer is for you, and our strategies do work best for those of you with over $1 million or more dedicated to retirement. Thomas, quickly give them the number out for before we go for the week.
All right, let's do this. 800-661-7383 is the number to call. You can also text the keyword plan to 600-700. If you want to meet with Coach Peter, a member of the team, get your total retirement plan in place. Let's do this thing. 800-661-7383, 800-661-7383, or text that keyword plan to 600-700, plan to 600-700.
Well, for Mr. Greg Berrien over there, Thomas Lipscomb on the other side of the glass, it's Coach Pete. We'll see you next week right here on the Financial Safari.
Coach P Radio.
Information provided is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Information has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. Neither Peter J. Deruta or his guests are liable for the usage of information discussed. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action. Annuity guarantees are based solely on the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing company. Individuals should thoroughly review the contract for specific details of the product features and costs. Income payments and withdrawals from deferred annuities are generally taxable as ordinary income in the year they are taken.
Money management is provided by Equus Capital Management. Equus is an SEC-registered investment advisor located in San Rafael, California. Investment advice by Capital Financial Advisory Group, LLC, a North Carolina-registered investment advisor. Insurance advice given by Capital Financial and Insurance, a North Carolina-licensed insurance agency.